Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 62 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Switch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I have put a link to it on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And I actually, no offense to Blog Talk Radio, I love Blog Talk Radio. I would not be able to talk to you here today without it. But if you are a regular listener to the show, I highly recommend going over to iTunes and subscribing there. That way you just always get the episodes as they come out. I love that. I am a fan of podcasts. I listen to so many. You know what my favorite is right now? Well, I always love Robert Ojado. There's a bunch I never miss, but I've been going back to the back catalog for WTF, Mark Maron's show, What the Fuck. He has the coolest guests on his show, big celebrities. I just listened to one he did with Lena Dunham, and wow, it's so fun just to hear them have just a normal conversation. He asks them a lot about their process, and as an artsy, nerdy person, I love to hear about the process behind, like, a director, a writer, an actor, a comedian. I like to hear about their work. But he also gets into some really cool, I would say, psycho-spiritual kind of ideas. It's very interesting, and I recommend checking that out. And thank you, or you're welcome, Mark Maron. I don't know why I'm plugging his show. I'm just having a good time listening to it. There's one called The Nerdist. I just listened to a show with Kit Harington. So anyway, load up your iPod. Go subscribe to shows. Leave me a review, too. I love that. It's so awesome. It helps me. It helps other people find the show. So I love that. Helps me. Go leave me 5 stars. I will send you virtual kisses. What other ones am I loving right now? I always listen to Underground Wellness, social media marketing. That guy's kind of crazy, Mark Seltzer, with his safari theme. And let's talk about Hippie Witch Magic for a New Age, because I know that's why you're here today, and I don't know why I just started rattling off favorite podcasts. Oh, let me mention my friend Dawn Champagne, too. Her show... Oh, no. I don't know if I know the name of it. Follow Your Bliss. I think it's just Follow Your Bliss. You can find her, though, if you just Google her and put Dawn Champagne in, or Miss Bliss Coach is what she goes by. But she started a new podcast, and I've been listening to that as well, and I like it. But today on this podcast, I wanted to talk about proactivity versus reactivity. And living your life in a proactive way rather than a reactive way, which I know is not new. I'm not saying anything new here. But as I often say, these lessons, they just keep coming back around in my life, and they go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper every time I learn them. And I get excited when they come back around, and I like to talk about them. So this episode is as much for me as it is for you. They all are, really, but this one in particular really hits home because, A, I'm in the process of having to deal with something in my private life that I did not prepare for, and I have been kicking myself for not preparing for it because it's a much bigger mess than it would have been had I prepared for it, and B, in the light of turning 40 this past September, I had and continue to have this realization that I am going to get old, and I am standing on a kind of precipice here, like a threshold of choice. And never before have I been so aware of my need to make choices, conscious, deliberate choices. that will shape my future, that will shape my experience. What kind of old lady am I going to be? What kind of life is Tanner going to have? My son, for those of you that don't listen to the show, I'll just say my son has autism. He's 20 years old. I'm going to be taking care of him most likely for the rest of his life. So what kind of choices can I make for him? So, yeah, all this stuff is on my mind. And it sounds like kind of heavy, but it's just life. You know, we all have to think about these things. And I don't know. I guess to some degree, ignorance is bliss in the moment. And we have, a lot of us, that ignorance is bliss thing when we're young. We think we're going to live forever, and so we don't plan for anything. But really, I don't even know that I would agree that ignorance is bliss when it comes to the bigger picture, because it just screws everything up later on down the road. You only get to enjoy that bliss in the moment. And so I subtitled this show, If You Fail to Plan, You Plan to Fail, which is just such a nerdy thing to say. I immediately get a vision of, like, some old crusty guy in a brown polyester suit with glasses and, like, a bad comb over and in a not well-lit, like, fluorescent lighting conference room with paneling on the walls. It doesn't sound very hip or cool. And I think I'm getting less hip and less cool as time goes by, because the stuff is really starting to make sense to me. It's like, that is true. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And life has shown me this many times, so many times. But I'm finally starting to take this obvious piece of wisdom seriously. And what inspired this show was my super kooky friend, speaking of kooky creatrixes, wow, what is the plural of creatrix? Speaking of kooky creatrixes and kick-ass witches, my friend Valerie Love, she has been doing this series. She gets up every single morning, and I think she's doing it through Google Hangouts, but she's live on YouTube every dang morning. I don't know if she's doing it on the weekends. Most mornings she is up and dressed and beautiful with makeup and outfit and fingernails and jewelry, leading a sermon. She is Reverend Valerie Love, and that is very much her style, but she's super kooky, which, I mean, is the highest compliment. She's out there in the most fun, delicious, wonderful way, and she shows up every day to inspire people, and she is a Christian witch. Which, if you want to learn more about that, I actually knew I was going to talk about this today, so I put a link to an interview that I did with Valerie maybe last year about that, about her being a Christian witch, because a lot of people think that that's not possible, and I want to say, yeah, it is, and I know someone who is, and you can go watch that interview if you don't believe me. So there's a link to that, Valerie Love, on the Blog Talk Radio page, or you can just go search my website and find it. I have everything very well organized there. I have a page for all the Every Which Way interviews, so you can always find an old one if you want to look it up. But anyway, in one of these morning boost shows she was doing, she said something about what I'm talking about here today, and I was just like, oh, yes, and it just was ringing through every cell of my body, and I just had a big aha moment. It kind of made me feel goofy because I knew this information already. It was like, yeah, that is obvious, facepalm, but at the same time, it rang true for me, and I think sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of these things or learn these lessons again, and they just go a little bit deeper, like I was saying, but she said, live a proactive life rather than a reactive life. Do things before you need to do them. Yeah, yeah. I know this, so why haven't I been living my life this way? Do things before you need to do them, and they will be so much easier than if you put them off or if you wait until you need them, until you are acting out of a sense of needing to react, if you are living reactively. If you live proactively, you are prepared, and it is not a big deal. So thank you, Valerie Love, for that little nugget that triggered this whole show topic today. Are you reacting? Are you living your life reactively, or are you living it proactively? And what's interesting is I like to take this stuff, you know, to different levels sometimes and think about it on, I don't know, just in different ways. So I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, and again, I am not using bullet points. I'm getting sort of proud of myself for this. Like, I have things to say, damn it, and I can just get on here and say it all. I don't know if you're following me and if it's making sense. That's a whole other story, but yeah, I guess I didn't need my little security blanket of bullet points. I can just go and talk, and I got shit to say. But are you living a reactive life? And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, it's not just about reacting to other people. It's not just about reacting to disasters. It's actually about reacting to your own triggers. You know, something could trigger you externally and does, because we all get triggered by all kinds of things, which you would know if you've done some shadow work. But for a lot of us, those triggers send us into reaction mode. Whereas if you had taken the time to prepare for that trigger, if you know you have a certain trigger, if you've done the shadow work, for example, then you can prepare to handle it in a new way. So when something triggers you, you get to make a conscious choice in the moment. So I was thinking, that's so cool. That's so witchy. That's so psycho-spiritual. This is bigger than just preparing your taxes or saving money for your taxes when it comes that time of year again. It's practical and it's spiritual. And there was like a really cool, quite a few synchronicities around wanting to do this show. And I think life just works that way when all of a sudden you want to buy a VW bug. You see VW bugs everywhere. If you want to get pregnant, you see pregnant ladies everywhere. If you dye your hair red and you think you're the only one, all of a sudden every time you leave your house, there's another girl with that same color red hair. I think once something is in your awareness, you just start noticing it more. Some people would say that once you focus on something, the law of attraction starts bringing more of it into your life, and you can call that synchronicity. Whatever it is, it's friggin' cool, and I think it's interesting. So today, Marie Forleo, she had a lawyer on her show, Jonae Williams, to talk about the three common legal mistakes that small businesses make. And they actually talked a little bit about what I wanted to talk about here today, about preparing. Marie was talking about how a lot of people don't invest in their small businesses because they say they don't have the money or they can't afford it. And then this lawyer was like, and that is a horrible mistake because then it ends up costing them more money. They can lose everything because they think they can't afford to, you know, put a few smart, wise contracts in place, things like that. So, you know, service agreements, disclaimers, stuff like that, setting up your business properly, protecting yourself. And Marie gave the example, which she's so good at making this stuff easy to digest and understand and simplifying for us all. But she was talking about how she didn't want to pay to do whatever her vet wanted to do to keep her dog flea free of fleas. So she didn't. And then she wound up having to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars when he, in fact, got fleas, and then she had to deal with it after. And so I think that just ties in today with this whole thing about, you know, being prepared, or if you're not prepared, if you're not proactive, having to react in the moment and how that can just cost you so much more. It makes me think of, you know, your car, getting an oil change, the basic maintenance on your car. This is something that I had to learn when I was young. Holy cow. Because I always had junker cars. I've always had used cars. I've never just gone and bought a brand new car. And when I was really young, I mean, they were not in good shape. They were junker cars. And those cars require even more maintenance. And I had one car completely die because I just didn't change the oil ever. And your engine will seize up if you do that. So it can be very expensive. this lawyer, Jonae Williams, was talking about health coaches specifically, which I very much relate to, and giving, you know, disclaimers on your website, which I didn't even do for the first few rounds of Sad to Sexy. I now have disclaimers on everything, and I'm doing coaching, so if I give any advice about, I'm trying to help somebody right now get off of pharmaceutical antidepressant, and so everything I'm saying regarding that, I'm like, just please keep in mind this is not medical advice. I am not a medical doctor. I'm happy to help with these things, but yes, you need those disclaimers there, and you need to think ahead so that you don't get yourself into trouble and end up costing yourself a lot having to react to things. So those small little proactive steps, sometimes they might even seem out of your budget or kind of a pain in the butt. When you think to the future, when you think ahead, there's a magic in that. It can set you free. It can set up your future self in a very nice way. So also, you know, with Sad to Sexy, that program that I guess you might not know if you're new to me, Sad to Sexy, I help people get off the standard American diet and start eating real food. A lot of times people say they can't do that because they can't afford it. And I can tell you all kinds of cool little tips and tricks for saving money that way. But just addressing that issue as it pertains to what we're talking about today is like, okay, fine, you think it's too expensive to buy healthy food. What is more expensive, feeding your family healthy food or having to pay for their doctor's visits, missed work, the time and energy you're going to spend chasing symptoms around when their health starts to break down, the prescriptions that you're going to have to keep buying, possible hospital videos. Where did that come from? Visits? You know, it can be really, really, really expensive if you don't invest in good food. And that is a subject that I have to tread lightly on because I can just go off on the most mega tangent ever when it comes to this. I'm very passionate about it. So I'll just briefly use that as an example and move on and just leave you with saying that it is so much easier to stay healthy than it is to get healthy. And, you know, that's what I was talking about at the top of the show about, like, I'm 40 now. There are things I have to do or I'm going to pay later. I have to work out. I was extremely skinny. I'm still pretty skinny, but when I was a teenager, I was very skinny, like crazy skinny. I have a really tiny little bird frame, and I got pregnant when I was 19. I was already married. I really had it together back then. I got married when I was 18, pregnant when I was 19, and my son was born the day after my 20th birthday. So I had all this incredible pain in my hips, like in my back, but where the top of my hips were, and my doctor told me it was because I was small, my hips had to spread to accommodate a baby coming through. And ever since then, my hips have never quite been the same. They're a little wobbly. So I sit a lot for my business, even though I have a little standing desk that I've made out of this piano in my living room. I spent a lot of time sitting when I was doing the last module for the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year, and I felt that hip thing start to hurt, and I ignored it. And instead of working at my standing up desk, I just made the lazy choice. I chose what I wanted now as opposed to what I wanted in the future. And I hurt myself so flippin' bad that I was hobbling around like a little old lady. And I'm still hurt. It's been a couple weeks later, and I'm still hurt. So that was like a huge message from the universe, like, yo, you aren't young. You're 40. You have to take care of yourself. You need muscle. So I took this amazing picture of this woman's – I didn't take the picture. I stole it off the internet of this woman with this awesome body just packed with muscle. And I put the words across the top, do not give up what you most want for what you want now. And then I made that in tile form, the wallpaper on my laptop, because I need to remember that. This is important. And that is, I could have titled this show that too. You've probably seen it. It's a fairly popular meme going around on the internet. Do not give up what you want most for what you want now. The magic of proactivity, you know, prepare for old age now, build muscle, protect your body from, you know, silly injuries like I hurt myself sitting. Get a financial plan together, plan for your retirement. Don't sacrifice what you most want for what you want now. Don't do that. It's a bad idea. If you're married, if you're going to get married, if you're engaged, so many people have an emotional reaction to their partner wanting a prenup. It can cause a big old breakdown in communication in the relationship. People can take it very personally. But the reality is that, isn't it more than half now? Let's just say for optimism's sake that half of marriages end in divorce. Maybe it's not even that much. Maybe I'm being a pessimist. I don't know. Many marriages end in divorce. So getting a prenuptial agreement in place that protects you, doing it for yourself, is a very good idea. There is a book that I'm going to be talking about soon called Prince Charming Isn't Coming. That book was a huge revelation for me. I've been doing this Book Nerd weekly series every Monday on the blog that I'm so completely in love with. I see that you guys are liking it too, but really, I'm getting so much out of it. If you didn't care, I would probably still be doing it. So I'm going to do one on Prince Charming Isn't Coming to go with the next 4 on 40 talk, because we're talking about money, and that is what Prince Charming Isn't Coming is about. It's about how so many women, I mean, this is a thing that I think affected our mothers and grandmothers more, but it's still affecting so many of us today. Like, a lot of women are waiting for their prince to come, or they think they've found him and that they are taken care of financially, and they put that burden on their husband. Maybe their husband is happy to do it, but then they aren't involved in the finances. They don't know how much is saved. They don't know anything about the taxes or what's going on. They don't know if they're protected. They don't have any protections in order. So that is why we have an epidemic of women in their 50s and 60s who are homeless, who formerly had money. And the statistics are astounding. I don't have the numbers for you right now, but it's very alarming to look at that and see, like, oh my gosh, all of these women that thought they were taken care of, some of them mothers who are taking care of other people, are living on the streets without a pot to piss in because they did not prepare. They did not live their lives proactively. They thought they were being taken care of. They thought they found their Prince Charming, and come to find out, he spent all their money and left them. They got a divorce that was not favorable to her. Or he just died. And, you know, the reality of life is that we all die. And if you're in a loving relationship and you know this is the one and you know it's forever and you know you're never going to get a divorce, there's still the reality that one or the other of you is going to go first. And statistically speaking, if you're a woman, that is most likely going to be him. So you need to prepare for that. And it's not sad. It's a good thing. It's an empowering thing to take care of your future self now. It reminds me of that old saying that luck is preparation meeting opportunity. And now I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, is it luck? Or is it deliberate, conscious creation by way of proactivity? And magically speaking, you know, bringing this around to magic, you can get into preparing and really programming your subconscious mind. I've been talking about all this practical stuff, which is so important, but I know a lot of you are listening to me because you want to hear about the law of attraction and you want to hear about magic. So you can think about this in those terms too. You can get into preparing and really programming your subconscious mind, which is infinitely more powerful than your conscious mind. Your subconscious mind is really running the show, and your conscious mind is in charge of a teensy-weensy little percentage. And if it comes push to shove, the subconscious mind will win out every single time. So that's why being a witch is so powerful, because meditation, getting into alpha state, as Laurie Cabot teaches with her science of witchcraft approach, these things, I'm going to interrupt myself. I have a thought coming in randomly. I mean, I don't know that Laurie or most witches would be thrilled to hear me say this, but what I'm saying is not even about witchcraft or magic. It's not magic. It's not witchcraft. You can call it that, and I do. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about magic and witchcraft, but really it's just life. It's being human. It's being a conscious co-creator and using the power of your subconscious mind to make things happen. Whether you call that the genie within, neuro-linguistic programming, law of attraction, magic spells, magical spells, witchcraft, whatever you want to call it, it's really all just the same thing. And it has a lot to do with what we're talking about here today. It has a lot to do with the magic of proactivity, the affirmations people say, the spells they do, the self-hypnosis and chanting. These are all ways of preparing the subconscious mind for a new reality, to create a new reality, you know, to make a new path. It's about being proactive rather than reactive. And if you want to give it a law of attraction spin, you are creating within yourself a match for what it is you want, and that too is a form of preparation and proactivity. Like I was talking about before, doing things like shadow work and deliberately choosing new reactions to triggers that you know you have, that you've learned from doing the shadow work. By doing that, you can prevent yourself from making mistakes in the future, embarrassing yourself, sabotaging your best laid plans, or just putting your foot in your mouth. All of these things, they go beyond the fun of exploration, and it is fun, but they go beyond that into the reality of practical application. If you apply them, you have to do the work, but it doesn't have to feel like work. It doesn't have to be a drudgery. You can look at it as a game, or like I've talked about before, as an act of self-love. I've talked about it more than once before, but example I always give is doing the dishes, because I've always hated doing the dishes. And the way I had a paradigm shift around that is I started seeing it as an act of self-love, as me, my current self, doing something nice for my future self. And for me, that's doing the dishes. But it taught me a lesson that I can now apply to, you know, saving for taxes, meal planning, which I'm big on. Or like I was talking about before, if you're going to get married, getting that prenuptial agreement signed and filed, replacing the brake pads on your car, teaching your kids about sex before some idiot beats you to the punch and scars them for life or gives them bad information. You know, these things are ways your current self can give some love to your future self. So imagine yourself in the future. Imagine yourself tomorrow morning. Imagine how relieved you will be, you could be, to wake up to a clean kitchen and your clothes laid out for the day ahead. And imagine how awesome that would feel and the sense of clarity and freedom that would give you. You might even thank your old self for doing that stuff. Oh, thank you, yesterday self, for doing the dishes and laying out my clothes. And then imagine yourself, conversely, waking up to a stack of dirty dishes and having to navigate through all of that to make breakfast for your family and digging through the laundry piles for the shirt that matches those pants that you can't find and making yourself late for work. Which feels better? Which is more appealing? Is there anything you can do now to make your life a little bit easier tomorrow? Can you give your future self some love? Or are you going to fuck him over because you're too lazy to do the dishes right now and you'd rather spend another 3 minutes sharing grumpy cat memes on Facebook? And the same goes for bigger, more long-term things like getting into a good college, preparing the soil for a kick-ass garden that pays enormous dividends come harvest. I talk about that in the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. Investing in a real relationship with your kids with open lines of communication when they're little so that they feel free to come to you with their problems as teens. Working out, exercise, that's a big one for me and for so many of us. And it's interesting how that one actually holds so many up. So many people get really stuck on exercise, and then they complain about the results of not exercising. You know, and there are bigger implications to this as well. The way we've trashed the planet for our current convenience, screwing over future generations. possibly our own kids and grandkids, you know, that ain't cool. So I was going to read you a little bit from The Hedge Witch by Aaron Murphy Hiscock, but I've run out of time. I'm going to tell you goodbye, much love and peace, and then I'm going to try to read this and see how much of it will get recorded before Blog Talk Radio cuts me off. Much love, peace, here we go, the hearth fire at home. In times past, the fire played an important role in the home. It was a source of light and warmth, and it cooked food. These basic needs were impossible to achieve without fire. Starting a fire was a time-consuming task, and so the hearth fire was banked at night to keep the coals and embers alive in order to use it as a basis for the next day's fire. The kitchen fire was crucial to daily life. To allow it to go out demonstrated unpreparedness. It was a sacred task of sorts to consciously think ahead to maintain a basic supply of fuel to keep the house in order and running smoothly. The absence of a fire, whether through negligence or otherwise, meant the lack of warmth, a method by which nourishing food could be prepared, protection, and so forth. So, if you're still there, think ahead, prepare, be proactive, and consider it a sacred task, an act of self-love and empowerment. That's what I want for you and for me, to feel empowered, truly empowered in a way that makes life fun and exciting, because it's all about creating the kick-ass life of your dreams. Peace.